I suppose somewhere in the world at this very moment there is a storm. I don't know where it is, if there's more than one, but I would be very surprised if there wasn't one somewhere at the moment. High speed winds, maybe a deluge of rain, or a large dump of snow. I suppose if the storm is at sea, which is more likely given that there's more sea than land, there will be huge waves perhaps, and it's not too difficult to think that there will be people like you and me who are at this moment in peril. We've all experienced storms, no doubt, of various kinds. I suppose some worse than others. Perhaps we can recall an occasion where we were in the middle of a storm that caused us to be afraid. Perhaps we were actually injured by a storm. I can remember about 10 years ago, I think it was, one winter, we had some pretty violent storms. I was in the vicarage garden, and about 10 or 15 feet away from me, behind me, I heard a crack. I turned round and a rather large tree fell over. And I can remember thinking, well, I haven't been hurt now, but if I had been just in a slightly different place, I could have got quite badly damaged. And perhaps we have been injured by storms. Perhaps we know people who've been hurt by storms, or displaced from their houses by floods, or maybe even we know somebody who's killed. We inhabit a dangerous world. It's dangerous now, it always has been. It was dangerous on the Sea of Galilee. The story of Jesus and his disciples in a little boat in a storm on the lake is quite famous, I think. Maybe people are still familiar with it. And it's a very useful story in helping us to think about our experiences, not only of the weather, but of life in general and how we cope with it. Perhaps this story inspired the prayer of the Breton fisherman. Maybe you're familiar with this. O God, thy sea is so great, and my boat is so small. This inscription was on a brass plaque, and it was kept by President Kennedy in the Oval Office. And he used the quote in his remarks to the dedication of the East Coast Memorial to the Missing at Sea back in 1963. As for the story itself, which we've heard read from Mark's Gospel this morning, we can also find it in Matthew chapter 8 and in Luke chapter 8. So it was a well-loved story, and each of those writers thought it was worth including in their Gospel. In Mark's version of this story, which is just slightly different in some of the details from the other two versions, Mark has sort of seasoned and peppered it with four questions. So let me just use those as a way of helping us think briefly about what's going on here. So here are the four questions we find in the story. One, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus said, why are you so afraid? Jesus also said, do you still have no faith? And the disciples finally asked, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Teacher, don't you care? Well, a few days ago, perhaps you saw in the news, Melania Trump, the so-called First Lady in the United States, wore a jacket with the words, I really don't care, do you? Now, the First Lady's communications director, who's called Stephanie Grisham, is quoted apparently as saying, I hope the media isn't going to choose to focus on her wardrobe. A vain hope, I think. I mean, why? Maybe it's just me, but why wear a slogan on your clothing and not expect people to want to talk about it? In his poem Ash Wednesday, the American poet T.S. Eliot wrote far more elegantly some of my favourite lines about caring. Teach us to care and not to care. Teach us to sit still. Teacher, don't you care? The Jesus who had healed the sick and the possessed, who had proclaimed good news for the poor, freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, release of the oppressed, and the year of the Lord's favour, this man was being asked if he cared. Now perhaps the question wasn't an absolute question. I'm sure it wasn't. The disciples had seen that Jesus cared. So this was a relative question. What about now? What about this? What about us? Don't you care if we drown? Maybe it was a selfish question. Jesus was asleep in the storm. It's a beautiful image. Although maybe not so beautiful sometimes in our thinking. Perhaps in our storms it can seem that God is asleep, inactive, detached, silent, ineffective, or even non-existent, so absent that we can no longer believe that he's in the boat. And the lack of God's attention sometimes might cause us to ask, if we believe in him, Lord, don't you care? Well, let's turn that around. What is our answer to our question? What is our belief and faith in a God who cares or not? Do we believe and trust in a caring God? The answer to that question will give us the answer to the question. Jesus woke up and asked a couple of his own questions in response to the disciples. So, number one, why are you so afraid? Now, it seems to me, I've done a bit of physiology in my life, perhaps you have as well, fear is normal. Fear is a physiological response. It's sometimes a reflex. It's a phobia that can overwhelm some people that we can't easily manage. We can all be startled by something. And fear helps us to avoid being harmed or avoid being hurt or pain. So fear is helpful. It's a survival instinct. We are designed to be afraid sometimes. We might say, if we're going to use theological language, that to some extent we are created to be afraid. But there's more to being afraid than just fear, because our fears can be managed. Our fears can be controlled to some extent, so that we're not overwhelmed by the reactions and that we can continue to do productive things. And I think one of the ways of managing fear is with faith. Our faith can help us to see beyond the storms that present themselves to us, beyond the difficulties and the dangers. Our faith can help us to see possibilities of safety and a calm harbour, of better things to come, that kind of language. And faith in God can even take us beyond life into a vision of eternity and the security that we believe will come there. If we trust in a caring God, even though we can't always understand what is happening and why, then that can transform our reactions to our fear. In Job, the book of Job in the Old Testament, there's a phrase which I think really takes this to the limit and really calls for an exceptional kind of faith that I think is extraordinarily helpful. There's a phrase in Job which says, "Though he slay me," speaking of God, "though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." Now that kind of faith can transform and look beyond any kind of fear, I think. Jesus' third question, "Do you still have no faith?" he said to the disciples. Well, faith is a way of life, I think, not just something for when things get a bit stormy, although often people do rediscover some kind of faith when things get difficult. In the Gospels, the disciples are depicted over and over again as very shaky in their faith, even faithless, frightened to the point of distraction. They run away in the end. But they are continually challenged and educated and encouraged and taught by Jesus to keep their faith. So, do you still have no faith? He says to them. We're not given an answer in Mark, but we might wonder, what's the answer that we would give if somebody asked us that? Do we still have any faith or no faith? What are we doing with it? And then the final question, just to wrap up these four questions that we find in Mark. The fourth question is the disciples asking, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Weddings are often the time when people say to me, if it's raining, "Couldn't you have done something about this?" Or if it's sunny, "Well, thanks to you, the weather's turned out all right." "I never knew I was so powerful." My stock response to such comments is, and you've probably heard me say this before, "I'm in sales, not management." Okay, none of us can do anything about the weather. Weather is weather, storms are storms, peril is peril. "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Well, it seems to be a bit different here for Jesus. "Look, shall we live our lives expecting to be protected from harm by God?" Well, we often pray for God to protect us. So what are we doing when we pray that? What are we really expecting will happen? Will our lives be untouched by difficulty, by pain, by suffering, by death, by storms? It's a bit childish, isn't it, to expect that no harm's going to come our way? Do we really expect God to intervene miraculously every time danger appears? Come on. It's not going to happen, is it? Now sometimes it seems miracles, amazing things do happen. People are saved, some people. Some people are rescued. Some people survive terrible tragedy. And we think, well, that's miraculous that they got out of that. And that might cause us to wonder, well, how did that happen? Why is it that some people were saved? But being realistic, we probably more often might wonder, who is this who does not call the waves to be still? Why is God asleep, absent? So, difficult questions here. But because of what happened in the boat, in the storm, you know, was it a coincidence that Jesus stood up and told the waves to die down, and they did? We know storms pass. Or was it some kind of intervention with creation? Well, whichever explanation you come up with, you know, still leaves open the question of how we're going to handle our fears in life, what we're going to believe in, what we're going to trust in, how that's going to transform the way we live. All of those big issues, you know, that's just the beginning of sorting that out. So dealing with the dangers of life is just by the by, really, isn't it? So, four very interesting questions. Maybe I haven't given you all the answers, because I don't know all the answers. But we can go on reflecting and asking them of ourselves. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Who is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. Let me finish with a short prayer. Lord Jesus, shine upon all who are in the tempest of fear, the darkness of suffering, and the sorrow of grief, that in your light they may receive hope and courage, and in your presence may find their rest and peace. For your love's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen.